Friday, Dark Taco Box.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, back round number two of the program. It's Tyler Scott and Joel Blank with you up until 4 p.m. as we take you through the Press Box on a Tuesday. Lots to get to across the board as we were covering some NBA free agency last night. As the floodgates opened, the money was flowing and lots of guys were cashing in across the board, and they continue to cash in. So we were talking about that. Lots of talk about the Astros. Someone on Twitch wanted to know, on text wanted to know, the Dodgers gave up their top two prospects, which I mentioned, to get Trey Turner and Scherzer from the Nats. Because the day before, we had thought the Padres were close to finishing the deal. And then their most hated rivals swooped in and gave up their top two prospects and got the guys that, at least one of the guys the Padres really wanted. And the question was thrown out there, if you're the Astros, who were your two top prospects? Well, it's Peña and Leon. And I know for a fact that Leon is basically untouchable. So he's a guy that they're even considering to replace Correa if Correa doesn't re-sign. That's why they moved him from the outfield to shortstop. Peña is a guy the Cubs wanted desperately. And if there was any talks about Craig Kimbrell, it had to involve him, and that's why the Astros were out. Because, as I said, their farm system is fairly depleted, but they know who they've got, and they know who the guys they have to keep. If you wanted Forrest Whitley right now, because he's still, as Tyler mentioned during the break to me, is currently still ranked as the top prospect in the farm system.
Number one guy.
Take him. Yeah. And take him. If you want to value him as the number one guy, and that's the guy you would have wanted, I'd have given him to you immediately. Because not only has he had substance issues, but now he's had arm problems and surgery, and he just hasn't lived up to billing. So there's a guy that I'm trying to win now. I'm not worried about the future of Forrest Whitley. There's a guy, and I constantly go back to this, Tyler, and you're an Astros aficionado like me. So you'll remember this. The thing that's funny to me and amusing is that I always get a kick out of people that say you can't touch the top pitching prospect and the top field position player in the farm system. Well, go and look at the history of the Astros' top pitching prospect and top position player in the farm system over the last several years. And from year to year, you can go from the top to Derek Fisher, because he was one of them. Derek Fisher was the untouchable bat in the up-and-coming player in the system a few years ago. Derek Fisher, aside from scoring that run in the World Series on the Bregman hit, it was a Game 5. Other than that, Derek Fisher was expendable, tradable, and when he got traded, he didn't do a damn thing. Teoscar Hernandez, I get it. He's turned out okay. But I can sit there up and down. Forrest Whitley's another one. Didn't pan out. You know, pitching prospects year after year that are supposed to be top of the food chart. David Paulino, substance abuse, PEDs or whatever the case may be, 80-game suspension, never the same, gone. Before that, Martez. Martez with the number one pitching prospect in the entire farm system for a year. Untouchable, can't trade him. He's going to be a stud in the rotation. Nope, you know what he's been? He's been a guy that no one wanted about 3 months ago when he became available, and now he's been outrighted to Sugarland to try and pitch his way back into a spot somewhere in the big leagues. So that's why when you consider what was given up for Verlander, or Grinke. Sure, there's a guy like Beer, the third baseman, in the deal for Grinke. And he could turn out to be a really good player for the Diamondbacks. But he also could not. And therefore, it was worth the risk to go get Zach Grinke because you only get certain chances to get chase a World Series. And when you do, you got to go 110%. The Verlander trade, yeah, Daz Cameron could end up to be something for the Tigers. But if you look at the three guys that are all up right now for the Tigers that were in the Verlander trade, no one knocks your socks off and says, well, there's the next Vlad Jr., there's the next Tatis Jr. There's a guy that you gave up because you had to get this guy, but you might be really mortgaging the future in terms of how good this guy could be. No one is doing that. The only one I ever disagreed with was when they wanted to trade Bregman for Chris Sale, and AJ and I went back and forth on that one. But other than that, if you can give up your top prospects for the future, but it means a chance to go for it even more now, you go for it now.
Even for what they gave up for Cole Musgrove and Colin Moran. Like, yep. Colin Moran was, I think the highest he was that I saw going back these past few years was like number six top prospect. It's like, that's still pretty damn good. But at the same time, like, and now you see what he's doing in
Pittsburgh
with the Pirates.
Yeah.
And he's having a pretty good year.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player. The other guy that was in that deal was the relief pitcher that could throw, could throw like 100 miles an hour. But regardless.
David Paulino?
No, it was Mike. It was Michael something, because I liked him in the bullpen for the Astros. But, you know, aside from a Musgrove no-hitter.
I don't know.
You know, what's Musgrove really done? I mean, he's got decent numbers as a starter, but he's not anything far better than what you have now or what you got, obviously, in return. That was the difference maker in getting a guy that helped get you to Game 7 of the World Series. And if you had it his way, he would have ended up being the one that brought it home for you. So you make those moves every chance you get, because even if you have that player in the future, do you have the players around him that are going to get you a World Series? And if not, then you take the opportunity when it's presented to you, especially when you're a franchise that is basically graded upon how far in the playoffs did you go? Did you have a chance to win it? And if you were in it, did you win it, or did it you fall short like what happened with the Nationals? And then why? You're not going to be these teams like Milwaukee that, you know, are mid-level team, mid-market teams that are just happy to be there. When they're there, they still go for it too, but they come up short every single time. When you think about what the Astros have done in the last couple of years, Tyler, won it in 17, lost in Game 7 2 years ago, and are fighting for it again. And then you look at the Brewers. The last time the Brewers even sniffed a World Series was 1982. It's like the Bucks taking 50 years to get to another finals. That's what you're looking at when your other cities not named New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston. That's why the standards are set higher, the bar is raised higher, and you have to go for it when the opportunity is there, and that's what they've done. And I'm not mad at them for that. So, by the way, Eric had a great text. He said, Joel, today is the last day we can offer you $3,425 in your wallet. Also, we can throw in Ben Simmons because of my reference to the fact that Lance still gets all these interest-free loans and all this kind of spam that he has sent to the contest line. Those are always fun to get. And by the way, Amazon Eric, it wasn't for his size, Tyler. He clarified, but he laughed. He said, I deliver for Amazon. Well, Eric, you've probably been to my house far too many times for me to wish, but that's because that's what my wife does on a pretty steady basis. By the way, can I just throw this out there before we get into some Texans, Tyler? Obviously, we talked about everything yesterday and how tough that was. Bunch of stuff going on. Lisa's got laryngitis. So Channel 2 told her to stay home for a couple days because she did the COVID test. She's fine. But she can't really talk. So she's trying to get better. So I'm up in the morning. I'm getting ready to take the girls to school. You know, I'm thinking about you and I doing the show solo today. So I'm just trying to make sure we get everything lined up. Get in the car. Car goes, and I go, no, not today.
It seems like a fairly new car, right?
It's a 15 4Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, God, I'm thinking the worst. Thank God Lisa was home because I could use her car.
Use hers, yeah.
And then I just popped the hood and I'm like, yeah, based on what this battery looks like, I'm going to spend a portion of my morning going to O'Reilly, getting a battery and switching it out. So that was the start of my day, which was not. And then the coffee sucks, by the way. And I appreciate you finding someone who had a meeting that got Starbucks delivered, but it tastes like soap.
I think it was actually Tom and Tom's. So it's not.
Oh, well, Tom and Tom's is our people downstairs. Yeah. We love them. But by the time I got to it, something tasted soapy upon it. So.
Yeah, it may have been the other coffee as well. I don't know. They're just.
You tried to fool me. You came in thinking, like, look, I got you coffee because I guilted you into it. And then it turns out you just took some of that was lukewarm and microwaved
it. Up, yeah. The soapy part could have been from the coffee that we made, because that was actually hot. I put a little bit of that in there too, just to help you out.
Help me out?
Yeah.
Or to
wake you up?
Take some falsified credit for something that you didn't.
I mean, did I get you the coffee or not?
Yeah, but you got me cold, fake coffee.
I heated it up. I put it in the microwave.
By the way, Steph Curry has just agreed to a 4-year, $215 million extension. He deserves it. He deserves it more than anybody else.
First player in history to sign two career, $200 million-plus deals.
His wife can keep opening restaurants till the heart's content if you got $415 million in the bank.
Nah, they're not going to last in Houston.
You know what I heard, which was absolutely crazy? I think Lance said this. Monte Ellis, who used to be a pretty above average player in the NBA. Well, if you recall, and I've mentioned it a few times on the show, when Steph Curry got into the league, he had a ton of ankle issues. and they blamed it on the Nikes that he was wearing. And at the time, there was a Hyperdunk tennis shoe that even the Detroit Pistons trainer banned his players from wearing because it was so dangerous for ankles. Well, because of it, he had multiple ankle issues. Monte Ellis was traded to the Bucks. They gave the Bucks at the time their choice. You can have Monte Ellis, or you can have this young kid that keeps getting hurt, Steph Curry, and the Bucks took Monte Ellis.
Wow. That
if you had a do-over, Tyler.
Yeah, that could have completely changed the NBA.
Indeed, it could have. Now, if you're the GM that's probably no longer there, and I'm almost positive he's not, but if you're that GM, that's one you're sitting on till your grave. You're like, I hope no one in my basketball staff knew about that.
Yeah.
I hope if they did, they never talk about it, and I'm so thankful no one's ever found out about that. That, to me, is crazy. But look how long it took, and Monte Ellis is out there talking about it. You know, at the end of the day, that's why I have hope for the cheating scandal, that in the same amount of time,
players
will come out and say, yeah, we did it too. Yeah, we were doing it too. So, all right, we've got Texans to talk about today. They're in pads as they continue to progress and get ready for their preseason schedule. Hall of Fame game is, I believe, Thursday night this week. It's Cowboys and Steelers, maybe? So the games are upon us, whether Dak plays or not. And Hard Knocks is coming out with week one. So lots to get to there as we start talking about what's going on in the NFL. And if you want to be a part of the program, the phone lines are open, 713-780-3776 to call or text. Otherwise, it's Twitch, it's Twitter, it's Tyler, it's Joel, it's the Press Box.
Is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. All them I thought them beat, but them word. All them I thought them beat, but them word. All them I thought them beat, but them word. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, we're back. Rolling through the second hour of a three-hour extravaganza I like to call The Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. We said we get to some NFL. Lorenzo's on the line. We're going to get to him in a second on Texans, but I do want to get you some of the news of the day as it relates to the NFL because some interesting happenings. For the second straight day, Tyler, and I don't think it's something in the water, but a day after Carson Wentz was announced will be going under the knife for surgery on his foot to remove a bone. And based on his threshold for pain and his rehab, 5 to 12 weeks. A day later, see if this sounds familiar, Tyler. Colts All-Pro guard Quentin Nelson will have surgery on his foot. He will be out from 5 to 12 weeks as he has a very similar surgery to the one scheduled for Carson Wentz. The hell's going on in Indianapolis?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Isn't it?
Because apparently the whole thing with Wentz was he broke his foot in high school, didn't realize it, or they never diagnosed it as a broken foot, and whatever little piece of bone was like rattling around in there, and then just kind of he grew out of the pain or whatever it was, and now he hurt his foot, and then that's what like kind of jog this little piece of bone loose so that way he now has to get surgery on it.
When you look at that kind of stuff, I always cringe because of the fact that the Rockets could, if you always think about the Rockets element of that was Yao's foot and you're like, well, it's just a foot thing. But then you start thinking about it from Liz Frank, as they call it, to all the different surgeries. Your feet are so imperative to any sport basically that you play, especially the big three. That those are the kind of lingering things that sometimes never get better in the case of Yao that really have to make you worry because those are key players right there. I mean, Nelson's like the key to your offensive line. He's the all-pro. He's one of the toughest SOBs in the entire league. Ask anybody in the trenches. They talk about this guy being the new breed of offensive lineman. And the guy you just went out and tried to make your franchise quarterback and save this team is out. And then you look at their left tackle is Eric Fisher, the guy they got from the Chiefs, but he's coming back when he was in Kansas City last year from that torn Achilles. Darius Leonard, their number one defensive player, linebacker, and their new cornerback, Xavier Rhodes, who came over from the Vikings, also out. Leonard with an ankle, Rhodes with COVID. They're stacking up for the Colts, and their first six games, they have a gauntlet of a schedule. So if this was Texans a couple years ago, you're like, yeah, Colts are going to suck. They're going to really go through a lot, and the Texans got a chance to really gain some ground in the division. No, they're still the Titans. And dare I say, if it's still the Jaguars, then you're not good. So Texans pads today as Deshaun Watson's not on the field. I'm glad. Keep him home. We're done with that whole fun and games department. We mentioned yesterday, jokes aside, that he got sidelined at practice, whatever he was doing to try and it looked like he was participating. He spent some time on the trading table. That's where I said hold the jokes. He did point to his foot at a certain point. But now when everybody points to the field today with everybody out there in pads, he's not one of them, and I'm fine with that. It's time to start focusing on the guys that are going to play this year as opposed to Deshaun Watson. So there's that bit of news on Kirby. Lorenzo wants to get in here to talk Texans, so we'll see what's going on with Lorenzo. Lorenzo, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, my guy? I just want to verify before I go in on my rant here. Was it true that yesterday the fans were calling for "We want Deshaun" at
yes,
the practice?
That is correct.
Okay. First of all, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I love my city. I love my city. And we crossed the level of believability at maybe five women. Now, if you're just the captain denied, then maybe you got to five women, you got to like maybe eight women, and I don't know. 22. So that's embarrassing, man. And I'm not, this isn't to get on a soapbox as far as, you know, the Me Too movement and stuff like that, but that's what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that at least one of those cases are accurate, but yet you're clamoring, but that don't matter. We want Deshaun. We want Deshaun. Like, that's embarrassing, man, and I'm low-key ashamed of my city a little bit, but that's just what I want to say about that, man, that it goes to the larger issue of when, you know, there's this whole Me Too movement goes in on, you know, believe us, don't support our attackers and stuff like that. And that's exactly what people did and displayed, like they didn't know what was going on. So I don't understand why there's not more uproar, not maybe uproar because I know it's just the Texans, so it doesn't really get out as much. It's not as much of a large market, but I just don't understand why people aren't condemning those fans more than, you know, what I'm hearing. So I really want to get your opinion on it, man. What do you think about people still clamoring for Deshaun as if this didn't happen? Or maybe you could provide some type of insight to what you think they could be thinking. And I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Lorenzo. Good stuff there. A lot to uncover there. From my part, Tyler, I'll give you your crack at it. I'll just take first dibs on it. I just think that when you look at it, this is the frustration that I felt too. I take so much pride in this city and the sports fans and their passion and their knowledge and their pride. And a lot of times I get tired of the fact that it's so dedicated to their squad that they're not willing to admit when it's time to rebuild, that they're not going to be what they used to be. Or even more so, what pains me and what he was talking about was Deshaun, which I thought was a bit of an embarrassment as it relates to Deshaun. I agree with him. But I take it a step back and I take the same thing as the approach with James Harden, which pissed me off. When you give this guy the keys to the franchise, do everything he asks you to do or tells you to do for an 8-year period of time. And yes, you won. But at a certain point, now that you look back, you probably shouldn't have done some of the things he told you had to be done. But you gave him everything and you gave him every chance to win. And the first time it looks like you're not going to win, he wants out. That pisses me off. It's the same thing with Deshaun, where you gave this guy everything. Yeah, he performed well for you. But a lot of times, too, these are stats that are inflated because you were playing from behind a lot. For as good as Deshaun was, you were still 4-12 last year. And so he had a lot of big numbers at the end of the season, but that was because they were down by a lot of big numbers during the course of the season. But with that, even all that being mentioned, you look at this team and you say, this is what this guy did to you. He said he wanted out before these 22 women came forward. We say 22 when we only know the women that have brought cases against him. We don't know the other 40 or however many more he's done this. And we mentioned it yesterday with the one masseuse that actually came out in a lot of detail. As Houstonians, I want you to have enough pride to say is enough, enough is enough. I don't want you chanting we want Deshaun only because you know he might be the only guy that can make this a decent season. But let's not forget, with Deshaun last year, you won 4 games. So to say without Deshaun, if we go by what Vegas or and the odds we said yesterday were up to date, they win 3. Is one game really that important? Because really it's embarrassing when your whole city, if you're part of the people in this city that say we want Deshaun when he doesn't want you. He didn't want to be a Texan. He doesn't want anything to do with Cal. And this was all before they should the whole city should say, hey, you know what else? I don't want a guy that has this kind of reputation. Because if like the caller said, if one of them, just one of them, is right, then he's wrong.
Yeah, I think part of it also kind of goes back to what you said as far as like fans not wanting a rebuild, whatever. Really, the only team that has had to go through a rebuild was, I mean, granted the Astros did it recently. The only one before that was Rockets. And with football, like, nobody in this town has had to see a rebuild from the Texans. It's always been, oh, we're always on the cusp. We're going to be good next year. We're going to be good. They're just dangling a carrot in front of you. And with Deshaun playing, that's kind of what that is. It's just, yeah, he might still play. Like, they just want to keep their fans. That's it. They're not trying to do anything as far as win games. They're not trying to do anything like that or rebuild. They just want to keep the money in-house and not be the laughingstock of the league.
It's but an interesting opinion, Tyler.
Because they are, you're an outsider looking in.
I see what you're saying, too, in the fact that maybe they're saying this and chanting this because they know how difficult it has been when the team hasn't been that good. When you think about it from an Astros perspective, you've been spoiled for the last multiple years. But before that, you were losing 100 games a year for 3 straight years, and that was not fun. So I think that part of the conditioning of Houston is, I don't want to go back there because that's what rebuild normally means.
Yeah, but if you're a smarter fan, or if you understand, if somebody says rebuild, then you think, okay, generally with baseball, what Astros went through, maybe 4 or 5 years of it. Mm-hmm. And with the Texans, actually probably a little bit longer since almost right after that World Series year in 2005. But with football, I mean, maybe 4 or 5 years. And I just don't think nowadays people don't want to wait around for that long.
I think that's the key. I think that people realize that the harsh reality is that when you have taken your chance and made your run and then the party's over, in order to get back to the dance, as I said yesterday, from a Rockets perspective, 5 to 7 years, and that's at a minimum. If you get every move right, if you get the draft right, if you get the young players right, and people don't want to wait that long. And they don't want to be a part of that because it is so excruciating. And here's the other thing people don't factor in, Tyler. For as bad as that football team was in a lot of ways, with all those quarterbacks they ran through, Matt Schaub still was good enough in one particular season to give the whole city hope that it might be their year. So the fact that you realize when you do get the franchise quarterback after waiting all those years, it's hard to say goodbye to that. It's hard to start thinking about doing it all over again for how long and how many quarterbacks they went through to get the next Deshaun. Yeah. So that's something we can factor in. Troy wants to respond to the last caller, so we'll get him in after the break as we get to the second half of the show. It's 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half coming up next. Keep it right where you got it. ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening.
listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here's the second half of the show. He's Tyler, I'm Joel. Rolling through a Tuesday. Talking about this situation that was brought to our attention by a caller about the fact that yesterday at practice, Deshaun not there today, first day of pads, not on the field, not in pads, and probably a good thing because you already have damaged goods until you figure out what's going to happen with the off-the-field stuff trying to trade him. And that's why I just thought it was hilarious that everybody's like, got to trade him now. And I kept saying, no general manager in their right mind is going to give mortgage their future and give up all these picks and do all these things to get a guy that you don't know may ever play for you or might have to sit out a significant amount of time with suspension or legal issues. And then the caller brought up the question of, or even a statement about, as Houstonians, even as a Cowboy fan, but a Houstonian, that he felt embarrassed by the fact that fans were chanting for Deshaun to stay and we want Deshaun. I made the comparison to the fact that Rockets fans should have been a little bit more red-assed when it came to James Harden, because you gave him everything, and the first chance that he got to get out when he didn't think it was all sunshine and rainbows, he crapped all over you, the city, the franchise, and the people that bought his jerseys and bought the tickets and supported his team. And I thought he should have caught more heat than just a restaurant that didn't do well. So it behooves you to ask the question of how do you feel, because as Houstonians, you should have too much pride and you've had too much good times with sports to have to deal with players that think that they can manipulate the system and be bigger than the city itself. Troy wants to respond to that last caller. He called in last segment. I want to get him in here. He's a friend of the show. Troy, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? This is Night Ward Troy, not the country.
Gotcha. Other Troy.
I've been living here for 7 years, yep. So while I'm not a Houston Texans fan, I have a vested interest in the Texans. I agree with you on Deshaun. They should not want Deshaun because Deshaun didn't want them. 100%. Deshaun wanted out before all this happened, so the Houston fans should not be like, we want Deshaun. However, on the case itself, on the alleged sexual misconduct cases,
yeah.
Unless there's actual proof, it's he say, she say. And that caller should not tell people on one side, well, you should believe this even though there's no facts, but tell people on the other side, you can't believe this or you're a terrible person because there's no facts. Until there's facts, people can believe what they want. That's their prerogative. And I don't care what movement out there, I don't care who's in your life, until there's some definitive proof, it's up to each individual person to make their decision. So if his thing is, well, he's embarrassed so people want Deshaun because of his case and there's no actual proof, I don't co-sign that. That's bull, because now you're...
No, but Troy, let's take the first part of what he said, though.
If you're saying...
Let's just talk about the first part first, because that's what I was focused on. As the city, fan base, I don't want a guy that doesn't want to be here. So even before the 22 cases came forward, I don't want a guy if you don't want to be here. It's like Harden. If you don't want to be here, then bye, Felicia. Then you should don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
I agree with you 200%. James Harden, Deshaun Watson, I don't care. Cal McNair, he was like, he cares. Everybody who don't want to be here should be gone. I agree with you 100%. And that should be the only basis that the Texans fans should not want Deshaun. D-Hop don't want to leave. They should want D-Hop. Deshaun want to leave. Buy Deshaun and give the money back. Let the money go or sit here and don't make the money. But don't tell us you want to leave and they want us to love you. Nah, it don't work that way. Right. I agree with you there.
No, and good stuff, Troy. And look, on the flip side, that the caller has his own opinion. Look, all I said was when it gets to the 22 cases and now 10 have talked to HPD, 8 of which have been part of the 22 and 2 new ones. But it isn't a crime yet, but all it takes is one. He hasn't lost a court case yet, but all it takes is one. So my point being, if I'm a general manager of another team, there is nothing that motivates me to make a move for Deshaun Watson, as enticing as it may be to get a quarterback with his abilities and skill sets and what he's already done in the league, because I don't know if I'm ever going to have him. If you look at Zeke Elliott in Dallas, even if he never got convicted, he got 6 games. If one of these cases goes all the way through and goes against him, he's going to get more. And if I'm a general manager and I'm based on results, as much as I'd like to think that I can create my own narrative as to when I should be under scrutiny and when I shouldn't, Rafael Stone, it doesn't work that way. And it's a what have you done for me lately league. So why am I going to give up real valuable potential assets that either can help my team or I can trade to get a player that can play for me immediately for a guy that is the unknown? When and if I'm going to get him on my roster. That's why it just annoys me when everybody says, oh, trade him now. You got to trade him now. Well, from a value standpoint, the value's not going to be what it was before the 22. And the value's not going to be anywhere close to it again until, one, you know where everybody's picking. And two, you know, again, that through a lot of intel and background checks and talking to people, is he going to get out of all of these? Because that's going to factor in. All right, Lamont, you want to get in here on the same subject. What's up, man?
Say, man, you hit the nail right on the head, but I'm also disagree with you on something about trading them now versus trading them in the future. It don't even much have to do with all of his, you know, weirdo stuff that he's doing. Mm-hmm. The dude don't want to be here.
Right.
The dude don't want to be here. It stops there with me. If he don't want to be in Houston, I'm a Houstonian, man. Been here for pretty much all my life outside of the military. Born and raised, born in St. Joseph Hospital, raised in Sunnyside, Texas, man. The dude said, but his camp said he didn't want to be here. It stops there. I'm no sucker for love, type of cat that, you know, just wants somebody to hang with me. I mean, you can go down. It's all, man. That's crazy, man. And some people out there was cheering for him and want him to come back. He don't want to be here, man.
Right.
Forget him. But what I will tell you is, with the whole, trade him now versus trade him in the future. Mm-hmm. The only thing, my whole problem with that is, I can get, I totally understand the logic of trade him in the future because you'll know where people are at. But you know, this is unprecedented, and it's all kind of variables out there, man. Anything, we have seen anything can happen with Deshaun. It's almost as erratic as his play on a field, man. It's crazy. Anything can happen. You know, people can come out and some dudes could probably come out and say that they played in his booty hole, man. That's all I got, man.
All right, Lamont, I appreciate it. I don't know where you see, okay, and I'm trying to understand the disagreement with me because the biggest thing for me is, too, it takes two to tango. So I need someone that's going to say, I'm interested in trading for Deshaun. I don't see any general manager that's willing to do that. And take one of the top teams that everybody said needs a quarterback, that is desperate for a quarterback, that'd be willing to trade for a quarterback, and that's the Denver Broncos. If I'm the Denver Broncos, Tyler, right now, right, and I have everything else that it looks like to be a playoff team, am I going to mortgage the draft picks and some of the young assets that I have that I'm told it would take to get Deshaun Watson and then roll the dice that he's at some point going to be available? Or am I going to roll the dice that I'm going to tough it out for one more year and I can get Aaron Rodgers next year and he doesn't have any kind of cases hanging over his head and he's a proven commodity and he's probably going to be cheaper because of his age than Deshaun Watson?
I think that's kind of like a best case scenario thing. I don't know. I mean, hell, Aaron Rodgers, no disrespect, not knock on wood. Like, what if he gets injured this year? And maybe it's something that just he's
but your
out.
What ifs go both ways. What if he gets injured?
Exactly.
What if Deshaun gets punished?
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I think the uncertain future for Deshaun is a lot less negative than an uncertain future for Aaron Rodgers.
And far less or far more negative?
It's way more negative for Deshaun.
Yes.
So you're kind of, you're hoping that whatever happens with Deshaun,
Okay, let's say
it has more of a possibility of happening too.
Let's go team by team. So we said the Denver Broncos. What about Miami? Well, Miami was supposed to be on a five-year rebuild. It's just that they did so many things right and took so many chances that panned out, they suddenly became a borderline playoff team that got real close. And that pushed the envelope for them to say, maybe we give up on Tua, who we spent a very high draft pick on, so that we get the one, as we all know, key to any successful playoff team in the NFL, which is you got to have a quarterback. And so you don't wait it out to see what kind of quarterback Tua can be. You go, I got to have one now. Well, you're not going to have him now anyway, because until it's all settled, Deshaun ain't coming back. And if it is settled and it goes one goes against them, you may not have him for quite a while. And what everybody's saying out of Tua this year in camp is he looks good. So just because you overachieved on a quicker timeline than people thought you were going to overachieve at doesn't mean you blow that whole thing up and take a flyer that if it doesn't pan out could actually set you back the ground you made up by in your rebuild.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like I think the whole thing with the Tua thing is, I mean, yeah, they were putting Fitzpatrick in at quarterback last year, several games. He kind of rallied the team behind him, but the Dolphins got rid of him for a reason because they want to give Tua all the reps and make sure that, like, it's like the whole kind of Miles Straw thing. They thrust him into center field, and you're in the lineup every day, and look at what that did to him.
But people forget, like, Tua's coming off a major injury. Two of them actually in college.
That's true. I don't know about that, whatever. What was it, like his hip dislocated or something?
He had the hip issue. Yeah. He had the ankle issue, which he had surgery on. And then on top of that, what rookie quarterback in their first year, and Justin Herbert's an exception, but especially
so Deshaun.
Where you go six games without playing and suddenly they go, it's time for you to go right now. And the expectations are high, but that coupled with the injuries, and maybe you haven't seen him at his full-out potential. So there's that. And if you look at the other team that needs a quarterback, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. But again, if you're the general manager, I think it's Howie Roseman, and you go out and you say, I'm going to go trade for Deshaun right now, and I'm going to give up some of these draft picks that I got, and I got a couple. I got two. I could possibly have three, though it doesn't look as good now. But why am I giving those up for a guy I don't know if he's going to play or when he's going to play for me, when as part of a rebuild that they are in full-blown rebuild mode, they're going to need all three of those picks and more to get to where they need to be a playoff team. I don't think the time is right now. And if you suck for another year and you're Philly, one of those picks could be a quarterback anyway. And that's going to be a quarterback that doesn't have legal issues.
And they would be in a better position. Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Deshaun has a huge scarlet letter on him right now. And granted, it may just all kind of disappear at a certain point. But if it doesn't, then you look like an idiot trading for that guy.
There you have that. All right, so there's a little bit more on the NFL talk. If you guys want to be a part of it, 713-780-3776 to get in here. Otherwise, you can also hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, and text message. We're going to continue to roll on with the second hour of the program. Back with a whole lot more. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, I got Tyler Scott with me as we roll through the show on a Tuesday. And we appreciate you guys. I want to remind you the Summer Circuit's going to continue this week as we get you out to enjoy some cold beverages, some great food, and a whole lot of fun and a phenomenal atmosphere that is 5 Under Golf Center this Friday from 1 to 7 p.m. Tyler's going to bring his new clubs he didn't pay for, and he's going to try out all the different irons and the new driver as he enjoys 5 Under, where you can either hit them inside or outside. And it is a fun place. I compare it to, it's like Top Golf plus so much more because you can do it indoors.
Well, it is a Topgolf entity. So
is it? I didn't realize they were actually associated with Topgolf.
It's like a, I think it's kind of like a Topgolf almost kind of training center for them as well.
I like the fact that unlike the traditional Topgolf, you can go to the inside screens if the weather's bad or, you know, you want to do, because the other, in the inside screens, the great thing is if you're not a golfer, you can do kicking field goals or kicking a soccer ball or
throw
a baseball.
Throw a baseball.
It's awesome.
All that kinds of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be out there Friday, 1 to 7. This show, as well as the Blitz, brought to you by LafayetteTravel.com. And if you want to get away this summer, you can register to win a two-day family getaway in Lafayette, Louisiana, sponsored by LafayetteTravel.com as part of our summer circuit. You can also register to win the grand prize for the summer circuit we're giving away at the end of the summer, which is a Traeger Timberline 1300 wood pellet grill from Texas Star Grill Shop. It's a $2,000 value. You register and you get your entries in every time we do a summer circuit stop. That next one is, again, Friday, where we're also going to be giving away on-site gift cards and fun prizes throughout the event. But as part of that, you register to win that big grand prize at the end of the summer, the Traeger Grill, as well. So it's Houston's best FM sports radio station, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM, as we are coming to you live from 5 Under in Beaumont. If you need the address, 5945 College Street, Beaumont, Texas. Looking forward to have some fun and some games as we're out there on Friday. And like I said, Tyler's going to hit a whole lot of clubs that he didn't pay for. So with that being said, Brandon is on the line. He wants to talk about Deshaun Watson. Brandon, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing? Hey, love y'all show. I'm a true Houstonian myself. But what I'm going to say about this Deshaun Watson, I got two things. One thing with it was, when he wanted the initial trade, we all knew why he wanted to trade. And everybody had agreed with him when he wanted to trade. They dismantled the team. They dismantled the front office. They lied to him about everything they said they were going to do. This is before the 22 women came out. Y'all agreed with him. Yeah, get away from this stupid cow. Get away from Jesus Easterby. Get away from this person. Everybody agreed with him. Now all of a sudden he wants out and we're crucifying the man? Oh, man, we can't. 22 women come out. Y'all kissed Tyrann Mathieu's ass when he got here with his ass. Now we want to crucify a man for having a checkered pants?
All right, Brandon, you're breaking up. You're breaking up on the call, but I mean, you got your point across, I guess, but I mean, I think the thing that I keep going back to is I'm putting the 22 cases on the side for a minute. I don't want anybody that doesn't want to be in the H. I don't want anybody that doesn't want to be a part of one of these Houston sports franchises to be in Houston. Because you know what? If it's a pain to you, you're a pain in the ass to me. And so it's one thing to say you want a Tyrann Mathieu, but at that point, his stuff was resolved. And it was just about a better football player trying to enhance a good football team at the time. When you're talking about a Deshaun Watson, you're talking about a guy that well before any of these cases came out said, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be a Houston Texan. Now, you may say, well, it's just because of Cal. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the same thing. You can't said you can't play another down for the franchise in this city, owned by that guy who's not going anywhere thanks to his family. So therefore, it's like I always said when this whole thing came up too, when it was before the cases and it was all about him not wanting to be here. Look, you can change a general manager, unless you're the Packers. You can change a head coach. You can change a president. You can do a lot of things, especially when you're owned by a single owner that can make changes. But the one thing you can't change is the guy that owns the team, unless he does the unthinkably stupid, like Donald Sterling with the Clippers, or he sells the team. And you know the McNair family has made far too much money sitting there on the cash cow that is the Houston Texans to say that just because their star quarterback doesn't like the kid that's running the show right now and heading up the ship in the front office, there's no team in the history of sports that said, you know what, our star player doesn't like the owner. We're going to change ownership and sell the team.
And even if somebody changed their mind on Deshaun, okay, yeah, we want to keep Deshaun, whatever, and then all the cases come out, like, how is that a bad thing that people changed their mind based on this dude's creepy-ass behavior?
Yeah.
Like, that's, I don't know what, like, you're trying to, he's just trying to spin that conversation into something that it's not. Like, you can dislike the guy for a multitude of reasons. One being he didn't want to be here.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Right.
The other was because he's a weirdo and he is now – he's tarnished your city. He's tarnished the mm-hmm. team. And the thing is, at that point, whenever all this stuff came out, Houston's still kind of dealing with some other stuff as far as the Astros kind of catching it. So now it's just kind of – it's all just kind of piling on.
But don't you think, Tyler – if it was just back to, I don't want to be here because of Cal, there were enough people sympathetic to how pathetic Cal is to still side with Deshaun Watson. And in
there
that
were.
Regard,
yeah.
In that regard, I understand him saying, the fans saying, I want you to stay, reconsider. And I understand you being more sympathetic to Deshaun.
Yeah, maybe we can sign a petition to get Cal out of here, whatever.
Right.
Cool. But as soon as everything came out and if you had a negative opinion of the guy, or even if you had a positive opinion of the guy, and then all the stuff came out with the masseuses and everything like that, if anybody is being supportive of this guy right now, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, you should just pick another sport.
Think about it from a relationship standpoint. And Lord knows we both have had a lot in our day, right? But you're in a relationship. And your significant other tells you they want out. They don't want to be there anymore. Well, if this was me to you or you to me, first thing you'd be saying is, it's not worth it, bro. If she doesn't want to be with you, don't beg her back, because it's never going to be what you want it to be as long as you know those feelings are still there. But then on top of it, if you find out she's got a thing for masseuses and it ain't you at the massage table with the robe engaging in it with her, and she's engaging with others, 22 or more, as it looks like 50 or more, and 22 of them got issues with the way you engaged, I certainly don't want to stick around, and I don't want you in my house, in my backyard, in my city, if you don't want to be there. That's the best correlation I can give you and try and wrap it up and put a bow on it, because there's just no way Houston should be on their knees begging for this guy, James Harden, or anybody else to be here if they don't want to be here. Screw them. There's someone else out there that's better. And if it's not right away, in the long term, it'll be better. Because you get someone that wants to be here, that wants to be a fabric of the community and part of the new generation of winning and a culture that you're going to create. So that's how we'll wrap up hour number two of the program. Still got an hour to go in the show. 60 minutes on the clock. Always involves you. Some great dialogue from you, the listeners, today. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. That's for calls and text. If you text, put your name on it. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitch and Twitter, and we'll take you through the final hour of the program next, right here on the Press Box, ESPN.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.